Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I am so glad to be with you. I love talking about this money stuff, and I've got another gentleman who likes to do it as well, Jeff Cutter, CPA, PFS, that's Personal Financial Specialist, MBA, and a Master's in Science and Accounting. Very glad to have him back on the program with us. And Jeff does a lot of good stuff. He writes a lot. He's sought after frequently for his expertise. He has his own financial planning company up in Massachusetts. So thankfully, he's far away from me and not competing with me because he's really smart. Welcome back, Jeff.
Hey, David. How are you?
I'm doing well. And stay up in Massachusetts, okay? All right, good. No, I'm glad to have you back because I appreciate your perspective. And I tell you, one of the things I really like about what I see from your work is you just put it in real basic, not overthought. You know, you're like, look, let's come back to the basics of what we're trying to do with our finances and our investment and saving for retirement. And I just really like the more practical approach you take.
Well, you know, I find in this industry, you know, if things become too complicated, then you probably shouldn't be doing it. And what I find many times when people come into my office, you know, when I sit down with folks and I just ask them certain questions, because what I'm trying to do is gauge whether they have a good handle on what their current investment policy is. Because if they don't understand it, well, then we have a problem there, right?
So yeah.
The first step, right, that I always tell folks to do is what we need to do is backtest whatever strategy you have, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't look at things as, you know, good or bad. Or
right.
I look at things as appropriate or not. So what we have to do is get a good understanding of the behavior of the current policy that they have in place. And the easiest way to do that is to backtest that thing.
Yeah, and, you know, I love your point there, Jeff, because if they don't understand it, you know, it's very likely that if it does, they don't understand it, that it's probably not going to do for them what they think it's supposed to do. I know that sounds like a circular comment, but, you know, I've had people come in and say to me, you know, yeah, I got this, or I got this from the broker or the advisor or the insurance person, whatever it is. And I said, okay, well, tell me what you understand this does. And I got to tell you, Jeff, 9 out of 10 times, it's not what they think. And it's because there is a big disconnect between what people understand, or maybe they understood for a moment, but they just don't get it. And of course, the financial world, as you very well know, it seems as though there is a very deliberate attempt to make all these financial products out there more and more and more complicated.
You're absolutely right. And what I find is that what I like to do is I like to sit with people and educate them, right, and teach them the questions that they need to be asking themselves so they can make the right decisions. I tell people all the time that whether they're self-employed or whether they're not, they're actually running a business.
Very good.
And that business is their household.
Yep.
And they have an income, they have expenses, and they come down to net income. And of course, you always want to be in the black. You don't want to be like our government and running everything in the red.
Well, unfortunately, fortunately, we don't have that line of credit that continues to expand to meet our needs.
It's true, and so yeah, you're absolutely right. And to go back to what we were just talking about, as far as understanding the behavior of how your investment policy will perform. It's extremely important, and it's even more important today, because what we know is this. We know that the markets go through a correction every 5 to 6 years. You can take data going back to 1898, and around every 5 to 6 years, we have a movement in these markets. It's due, but what we want to do is what we want to understand, and what I try to teach people to do is backtest whatever strategy you have between the years of 2000 and 2010.
Mm-hmm.
Because those are 10 of the worst years since the Great Depression, with 3 of them being 01, 02, and 08. Everybody's feeling pretty good right now that they're now back to even. It's true, right?
Or, yeah,
right?
And
you see it in your practice.
Sure.
Because you and I view this stuff a lot of the same ways. And one of the threads of information that we always try to teach people is this. If you look at the classic buy and hold strategy, the classic brokerage model, where we're just doing asset allocation, where we're taking equities, stocks, we're taking bonds, and we're apportioning our portfolio to a certain percentage of each. The problem that we have with that is the benchmark that the broker is trying to beat is the S&P 500. But the majority of the buy and hold strategies will just have mutual funds in there, right? Mutual funds and equities,
right,
and all that.
That's right.
And as you know, what we know is 80 to 85% of all mutual funds don't beat the S&P 500.
That's right.
And one of the threads of information that's so important that I try to teach people is this, is that if we know that 80 to 85% of the portfolios of the buy and hold side, the brokerage models, won't beat the S&P 500, then what if you're actually smarter than 80 to 85% of the brokers and you just buy the S&P 500? Well, we can backtest that, right?
Yeah, that's not hard.
And no, it's not hard at all. And so if we were to do that, and if we were to have $100,000 in the S&P 500 going into the year 2000, and you just went to sleep, and you just opened up your statements at the end of 2010, well, you were lucky enough to have that $100,000 grow to $102,554. Now, why is that so important? For two reasons. One is that we had to, for inflation purposes, we had to be at about $140,000. But two, if you were in retirement and you were drawing money off of that portfolio, the thing's going to explode.
Yeah, it's not going to last. In fact, if you go through that period of time and you're drawing out this conventional, rule of thumb that I know you know very well, Jeff, the draw 4%, the thing is not going to make it. It's going to blow up. In fact, even with higher returns, it has difficulty. But, I went back and looked at, this 4 to 6% withdrawal rate, and I call it the fairy tale of 6%. And I ran your scenario 2000 through the end of that decade through 2009, and I ran it with a $300,000 portfolio pulling 6%. And ready for this? A $300,000 portfolio pulling 6%, it ended up being like $25,000 at the end of the 10-year period, because you're having to pull out at the worst time. When you have these two downturns that you talked about from 2000 to 2002, and then of course 2008, the big one, and with that you're pulling out, you're taking out at the worst time, which I call it dollar cost ravaging, opposite of dollar cost averaging, and it just kills people's portfolios. And not only that, nobody's got the stomach to stick with such a plan, even if it would make sense.
Absolutely right, and so that whole strategy was built around what was called modern portfolio theory. Right, and that works great when we're in a growing economy. When we're in an economy where the market downturns, you're not losing half your portfolio. And that logic is flawed when the market shifts. So now that we're seeing significant losses, okay, and very, very quick movements in the markets. I mean, look at where the majority of the losses happened in 2008. It was within the first 15 days of October. And the classic buy and hold guy, the bottom portfolio guy, was there saying, well, I guess it's too late now. I just have to hold on.
Right. That's right.
And so what we try to teach people and is a whole nother paradigm, right? And it's called megaphone portfolio theory.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very interesting because if you look at a megaphone and you cut that thing into three different areas, right? And there's a term that we're looking at, and it's a term called drawdown. And drawdown is really very, very straightforward. It's just a measurement of a high to a low during a period of time. For example, let's say that we had a stock. Let's say a bellwether stock like Exxon, okay? And let's say that stock, let's say that we had $100, and we had it on January 1st, and by the end of June that had risen to say 103. Now let's say at the end of the year it shrunk from 103 to 97. Well, that differential of 6. That is determined via drawdown. So that specific instrument had a drawdown of 6. What we look to do, all right, is we look to design strategies that are built around the megaphone portfolio theory, where what we're trying to do is limit the drawdown. Because in the markets that we're in, if we can limit the drawdown, then the upsides take care of itself. Case in point: let's say that we all believe that we're at the tip of a market here. Let's say that we lose half the portfolio. And let's say the following year, right, we have a year of a recovery like 2009, we gain back 25%.
Right.
Let's say the following year we gain back 25%. Let's say the following year we gain back 25%. And let's say that the last year we only gain back 10. If we had $100,000 and we went through that cycle, at the end of the 5 years, we're at $99,000. We haven't even gotten back to zero.
Right, right, because of the losses.
Absolutely right. And Wall Street says, well, just focus on the average rate of return.
Right, exactly.
And the average was 7. So people are making decisions out there on sitting down with their brokers saying, well, listen, don't worry. Look at the 1, 3, 5, 10-year average rate of return. The problem is that is misinformation. What they want to know is what was the total return?
Exactly. Yeah, because that, at the end of the day, that's what's going to matter, and that's what's going to get you or not get you where you need to be. If you're just joining us, Jeff Cutter's on the line with me, returning guest, and we're very happy to have him. CPA, personal financial specialist, doubling up on the master's degree, MBA, and master's in accounting. We're very glad to have him on the program. We'll grab a quick break. We'll come back. More information for Jeff over at CutterFinancialGroup.com, and stay right there.
Retirement planning doesn't have to be hard, complicated, or stressful. It also doesn't have to be done in a hurry or with sales pressure. Since starting Holland Financial in 1997, it has been David Holland's mission to help individuals, couples, and families plan their futures with personalized financial planning. David puts himself in his client's shoes and recommends products and services he would choose for himself or his family. If you'd like to learn more about Holland Financial or to schedule a one-on-one consultation with David, simply call 671-PLAN. That's 671-PLAN. No cost or obligation. Or visit planstronger.com.
Hey there, we're back. Jeff Cutter on the line with me, fellow CPA and fellow personal financial specialist. Very glad to have him with us. CutterFinancialGroup.com. A lot of good stuff there. And I tell you what, I enjoy reading a lot of Jeff's fine work. He is doing a lot of writing, which is excellent. And we're talking about, hey, life is not so predictable anymore, especially as it relates to your investments, and talking about different investment strategies. And, you know, I tell you, the thing that strikes me, Jeff, is that this concept that if you just stay in it, the markets, you stay with your investments long enough, you stick with it, you will, in the end, because of these theories and these different studies that say this is what happens, you stay in it long enough and you have the courage and the will not to be swayed, that you'll eventually get there, and you just have to stick with it and not be dissuaded. And you know what? Very few people can stomach that, and I think you're right. I think it's a bill of goods that's been sold to people that is how you plan your future. Because, you know, when we experience these downturns, you know, all these theories fall apart when you have two things: one, human behavior and people's ability to stick with these things, and then number two, drawing down on these portfolios during these downturns, which is what people do because they need the money. It really puts them in a bad spot. So there are other ways for people to do this, right? I mean, that's what you and I do, is we're not just putting everybody into, buy and hold and just let it ride. There are a lot of different ways to craft a financial plan to give people the income they need, but they have to be willing to take the time to do it.
You're absolutely right. And you know, what's very interesting is that when you look at the buy and hold strategy, right, and you're in your accumulation phase of your life, well, if the portfolio falls in half, right, then what they're saying is, that's okay. The shares are down. You don't need the money. You're just buying it less.
Exactly. Don't worry about it.
Right? Don't worry about it. Just don't worry about it. By the time that you retire, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
That may be true. But what happens if you're 5 years from retirement or you're in retirement and you go through another cycle?
Exactly. Thank you, Jeff. That is the point, isn't it? I mean, you can't mess around with this stuff. I even back that up to even 10 years out. I mean, I had a gentleman come in just last week that met with me. He's 10 years from retirement. He has got the pedal so far down through the metal. I mean, he's 100% equity. And it's a buy and hold strategy. And I said, so what happens if you stay on this course and we have a market correction or two along the way, or even right when you get close to retirement, where will you be? He goes, you know, I didn't really think about that.
That's right, and that's the difference between how you run your practice and how a brokerage model runs theirs. That's the difference, right? From a fiduciary standard, which is what we have to run our practice from, we have to look out for our clients for their best interest. And in markets like this, we have got to put the client in the best position possible not to lose half their portfolio. Now, you're still going to have volatility. You'll
sure.
still have market movement.
Sure.
But the question we always ask is, what's your downside risk trigger?
Very good. Well, right? Because if they don't know that, and if they can't conceptualize that, then they really are, and I hate to say it this bluntly, Jeff, but they really are kind of flying blind.
Yep, you're right. You're absolutely right. Everything in our world has to be measured. Okay, so for example, if you know one of the best advantages that we have when we manage downside risk for firms like yours and ours is that we know when that strategy will move out and go to cash. We know, right? Because we've built into the system, right, the algorithms to make that decision for us. You have to take the emotion out of investing, and you have to treat it like a business. And you have to trust somebody that they're going to give you the right information so you can make the decision on what is appropriate for you. So we have some clients that can absorb a lot of volatility, that can absorb more drawdown than another person. So from a fiduciary standpoint, what we have to do is design portfolio management around what the drawdown risk is.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Because if you don't know, I'll give you a real life. With all of the volatility that is going on in the markets, right? For years 2013 and 2014, people thought the good old times were back again and they're going to be making money hand over fist. And so you see a lot of people putting a lot of their portfolios in the equities and all that stuff to get that upside. Now, I have no problem with that. But what happened to a client of mine in the first over the past few months, he calls up and he's literally panicking because he has three quarters in equities and a quarter in bonds.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have downside risk triggers, but those downside risk triggers have higher drawdowns because we're dealing with equity.
Right.
And he's freaking out.
Right.
So I said to him, well, let me ask you a good question. When did your risk profile change, and how come you didn't call me? Right?
Right, right. You're making me laugh because, what do you mean? Well, my risk, I mean, you said, I just did this the other day, too. You told me that you could accept this amount of downside fluctuation. You told me you would not go to cash or feel like you had to go to cash until we hit 20%. So, and then all of a sudden, though, when we start experiencing some of those losses, I say, wait a minute, my risk tolerance is they don't say their risk tolerance has changed, but they're like, wait a minute, you told me I wasn't going to lose money, or you told me I was going to be good with this. Yeah, but you got to accept it reminds me of a staircase. The only way to get up a staircase is you have to put your feet up and down.
I like that one. She's will that same thing work up here in Boston?
I'm sure it would. I hear everything's better up north, so the stairs are probably better too. It's good stuff, Jeff, because I think, I'll steal another line. It was from a movie. I think it was, this will really date, you'll remember it. It'll date both of us. The Karate Kid.
Oh, okay?
Yeah. The best way to avoid a punch is to not be standing there.
I like it.
Well, people, you can't have it both ways, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, you have to understand that when you invest, that there are risks, and you have to measure those risks, which is what Jeff's really getting at very well, and you have to determine how you're going to limit those. And, back to my example of the gentleman I just spoke about, Jeff, is, my recommendations were, of course, appropriately designed to limit some of that risk and to say, look, you're 10 years from retirement. We're going to take this step now. And when we get closer, we're going to make another adjustment. We get even closer still, we're going to make another adjustment. And then when you make the transfer or make that transition into full retirement, we're going to make even more. So it's an ongoing process. It's not set it and forget it. We're not cooking a rotisserie chicken in the Ron Popeil oven, okay? We can't just set it and forget it. It's an ongoing process.
That's right. And this is where the brokerage models fall short, okay? And this is where the do-it-yourselfer investor can fall short because they're under the paradigm that they just have to ride it out.
Well, what's really interesting about the do-it-yourselfer in today's world, Jeff, and I know you've seen this and heard plenty about it. Today's investor has access to technology and some information, not always the best information, but has access to technology and the ability, they have the power to wreck their retirement very quickly.
Oh, yeah.
Because they can go online in a matter of minutes, either go to cash or go in. You know, I had a hunch that this might happen. You know, you can do that if you're at the casino. You want to bet on number black or red because you have a gut feeling, fine. But when it comes to your retirement, that ability to manage your portfolio, somebody's got a 401k, they've rolled over and they've got $300,000 or $400,000 in their IRA, and they can go in and affect those changes instantaneously. I mean, it's like putting a gun in a kid's hand.
That's right. I go back to the basics, right, on how we started this chat. What is your strategy, right? What is the strategy? You've got to understand what your strategy is. And if you don't have one in times like these, you better find one quickly.
Amen to that.
And just being there, a retail investor, going in and buying mutual funds, holding them without any downside risk management, you know something? That may be a strategy, but that's not a very good strategy.
Well, we both know it is wrought with plenty of pitfalls, and it you put that, sounds great in the wind tunnel, looks good in the wind tunnel, but you put it out on the road and you're going to run into a pothole, and the next thing you know, you're pulled off side road, got your thumb in the air looking for a ride. All right, if you're just joining us, Jeff Cutter is the gentleman on the other line, putting up with all my analogies and metaphors, CPA and personal financial specialist, owner of Cutter Financial Group up there in Massachusetts, cutterfinancialgroup.com. Quick break, we'll be right back.
These are challenging times for investors. The stock market is volatile, with 10% drops a common historical occurrence. Is your financial portfolio prepared for such a correction? What about inflation? What's your plan when that gallon of milk or gallon of gasoline costs $16? And what about interest rates? Did you know that a 10-year bond could drop 10% if interest rates rose just 1%? What's your plan for that? Holland Financial has all the answers to questions like these and practical steps to help you hedge against these negative events. Call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com to schedule your one-on-one meeting with David Holland. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
And we're back. Jeff Cutter on the line with me, CPA, personal financial specialist, owner of Cutter Financial Group, cutterfinancialgroup.com. So, you know, Jeff, one of the things that really reverberates through, I think, this conversation, and of course, it's a lot of what I do with my planning, and I'm sure you look at this as well, is, you know, often enough, they come to you and they say, look, okay, here's what I've got, here's what I'm doing, and you can certainly look at it, you can evaluate it, you can back test it, as we spoke about earlier. The next thing, though, is what are you going to do? You know, we can fix some things, we can, you know, look at the funds, we can look at the positions, but really, what is the next step? And for me, it's very often saying, look, we've got to have emergency money, we've got to have these things, we've got to figure out how much income you need to be comfortable, how are we going to get that income, and then we can still need continued accumulation, because inflation is not going away, it will come back, it may not be tomorrow, it may not be the next day, but it's out there, and you know, doggone it, there's always a need for more cash for something, trips, travel, emergencies, healthcare, downsizing, upsizing, kids need money. There's always a need for something out there. And so you've got to keep your money working, but there's got to be a process of figuring out how you're going to allocate your monies.
Yes, absolutely. And so when we do that, what we're looking at is we design systems under the megaphone portfolio theory. There's two things that we are looking at. We're looking at the investment plan, but we're also looking at the income plan. And both of those have to work together. Because if you have income but no investment plan,
right,
you're getting yourself in a little bit of trouble.
Right.
And if you have an investment plan that's not working with your income plan, guess what? You're going to get yourself in a little bit of trouble.
Each
of those have to work together.
Well put. And you know, the problem, and I know you've seen this and I've seen it, you know, it's this idea that, well, you know, hey, look, you know, as you talked about the averages, you know, the markets have averaged X, Y, or Z over the last, you know, 4 billion years. And, you know, here's what we can expect. Because, you know, of course, prior performance is certainly indicative of future results, right, Jeff? So, you know, we can expect these things, and if we make it eight and we're drawing four, life is good. We're still getting accumulation. We're getting the income we need. But again, when you walk through that with real people or you see how that's played out, it doesn't work so well if you don't have all that sewn together, as you said, with both the investment plan and the income plan. And people just, and then you throw in emotions, Lord help you.
You're absolutely right. And that's why what we try to teach people is go out and, you know, if you're the CFO, if you're the CEO of your organization, of your household, you've got to find a CFO, right? You have to have somebody who has a financial mind who can teach you the questions that you need to be asking yourself so you can make the right decision. And just looking at the average rate of return is not going to get you there. It won't do it. Because as we just proved, that if you go through and you lose half your portfolio every 5 or 6 years, and if the averages tell you that you're getting 6 to 7%, but the real rate of return, the total return, is 2.54%, you're in trouble.
Well, and again, I know you know this, but it's so easy to miss this for people looking at investing. You know, you look at what happened back from 2000 to 2002, we had nearly a 50% drop. And of course, the folks that were investing in technology who bought into the idea that, you know, it's different this time and technology is now the best thing on the planet, people lost 50% or more. You lose 50%, you got to get 100% back just to break even.
You know, you're absolutely right. What we try to teach people is that, and this is where the drawdown comes into play so much, because if you lose half, then you need to earn. You need to have a total return of 100% to get back even. If you lose 10%, you only need 11. Right. So if
there
you lose
10%
of the portfolio, then you only need to have a return of 11%. So by putting the emphasis on downside risk management, by putting the emphasis on minimizing drawdowns, the upside takes care of itself.
Well put. Jeff, I tell you what, we'll have to run. We'll bring you back, talk some more about it. Jeff Cutter, ladies and gentlemen, CPA, personal financial specialist, owner of Cutter Financial Group, website cutterfinancialgroup.com. Jeff, spot on. Thank you so much for being with us.
I thank you, David.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.